It's 8:01, Monday, August the 30th, and you're listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM. Good morning, and welcome to the Master Gardener Hour, the shortest hour in radio. Good morning. This is John Duke. I'll be your host until 9 o'clock. My guests today are Master Gardeners Bud Thurman and Crystal Cruzjan to talk about the Baker Hunt Arts and Cultural Center. Amy is here with me, too, as well as Bruce Murray, to join in the gardening talk. Should be interesting. It's 8:03, and you're listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3, the Real Stepchild Radio, what radio is meant to be. My theme music for the show is Coconuts on the CD Nature's Bounty by Mystical Moods. If you have any comments or suggestions, we invite you to write us at the studio. Send your letters to WAIF FM, 1434 East McMillan Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45206. I'd like to introduce Bud Thurman and Crystal Cruzjan. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
You're on the air. And good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
I think I've been to Baker Hunt one time, and it was a fascinating place. And I know you and Crystal are really spend a lot of time over there and enthusiastic about it. Why don't you start off by telling us how you got involved and about your background and
okay.
All that.
Well, I'm a master gardener from class two many years ago. I can't remember how long ago it was, but a couple of years ago I started taking art lessons at Baker Hunt. And Don Smyers, the Kenton County Extension agent, asked me to try to bring in some gardening stuff down there because they didn't have a lot. And so we got involved and had a whole bunch of gardens. But Baker Hunt, in case you don't know, is an art community, an art school, and it was founded in 1922. Today they have about 1,000 students. About half of those are children and half of them are adults. They offer about 75 different kinds of art classes, and it's not just painting, it's drawing and sculpture and mosaics and window making and felt making hats and photography and ballroom dance. It's just all kinds of art. And the new schedules just came out, so for this year, if you're interested, you can get online, www.bakerhunt.com, and you can pick up a schedule. Campus is a beautiful place, and we've had about, 20-25 master gardeners that have worked on it for the last year.
That's
so.
A big master gardener project. Then.
Yeah, it is. It's been very worthwhile. Yeah. Crystal's been probably one of the most avid volunteers down there. Every week she's been out working with us and all.
That's great. That's great. Tell a little bit about the history of Baker Hunt, how it got started and all that. I thought that was pretty interesting when you told me.
Margaretta Baker Hunt was born in 1845, and her dad was a candle and lamp maker over in Cincinnati, and they wanted to get out into the country, so they moved right across the river he built a house in 1854, and it was on Greenup Street.
That was the country then,
I guess.
That's
the country then, yeah. And 1854, the house was built, and they moved over there then, and later, she got married to a Dr. Hunt, and they had a child, a little girl named Katie. And Katie passed away when she was 15 years old, died of spinal meningitis. And then, of course, Mr. and Ms. Hunt died, and later on, Dr. Baker died. So Margaretta was there by herself. And in 1922, she set up the Baker Hunt Foundation, and it was a organization, a nonprofit organization that is devoted to education and science and art and religion to try to pass along. And up until probably 7-8 years ago, all the classes were free, and there's quite a demand for them since they were free, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But Because of some economics and things like that, they had to start charging a modest fee 7-8 years ago. And several years ago, they acquired the house next door, which was Margaretta Baker Hunt's niece. Kate Scudder was there, and they bought that house, and so that was the Covington Women's Art Club, and so they have a pretty large campus now. It's composed of five buildings. They have an auditorium and a studio and things like that, and the gardening was not very well taken care of, and also the master gardeners have come in and made it, we've tried to make it go back and look like it was an antique place many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have photographs or drawings that help you determine what was there, our list of plants?
Actually, we do. Margaretta had a beautiful pergola there many years ago. She had hundreds of roses on the property, and those photographs are helping us to develop the plans that we have for the future. We're hoping to build a pergola for 2005, and fortunately, with a generous donation of Oakley and Ava Ferris, that project will come to life, and the master gardeners will then develop the gardens around that.
Oh, that's good. You've got a lot of kids doing gardening over there, too.
Yeah, last year's project when we first started was trying to just get some flowers, some color in the gardens. This year's the focus has been on a new program we set up for kids. It's called WORMS, and it's an acronym for We're Organically Recycling Mulchers. And it's a Saturday program from 12:30 to 2, and we got about 30 kids in there, 25 to 30 kids. And seldom do we all of them come because of vacations during the summer,
sure,
and all that. But usually we'll have 20 to 25 children there. But they've just done a tremendous amount of new things and learned a lot about gardens. They've put in four compost bins. They got a worm farm with 500 red worms crawling around in it, making vermicompost. Each child had a grow lab tray this spring.
Uh-huh.
The seeds started early. We transplanted those out into the gardens. We got a pizza garden that's shaped like a slice of pizza. It's all the vegetables that you would find in a vegetarian pizza, tomatoes and basil and oregano,
uh-huh,
and peppers.
Oh, that's
and things
great.
Like that. And then instead of having just raised beds for the other things we wanted to plant, I thought was kind of innovative. We got little squiggly-looking curved beds. They're like worms crawling all around the gardens. So
that's great.
It's been a lot of fun, and the kids have really enjoyed it. And we've worked in some multi-generational things with the kids, too. About a block away is the Covington Ladies Home, a retirement place for senior citizen women. We've worked up a deal with them where we went over and planted their gardens for them. The kids did. Went over and planted their gardens for them. And we were hoping the little old ladies would sit there and work with them, you know, and plant, but they were unable to do that. No, they just sat on the patio and watched us do it.
I think they'd like to watch.
Oh, they started clapping every time we'd do something, you know, and then the director there arranged to have ice cream brought out for all the senior citizens and the kids after we got through planting. And then our art teacher that kind of heads up the Worm Project, she had them put little journals together. So the kids had to ask the senior citizen ladies to questions about their life and all. And
what a great idea.
It was
for everybody.
Yeah, it was. And we went back over a couple of weeks ago, and the kids made a scarecrow. And they've actually made three scarecrows, and two of them in our garden. And they took this little child scarecrow over to the senior citizens. So now they got a little kid sitting out in their yard all the time. So
that's
it's
great.
Been pretty neat.
I've had kind of the same experience over at Landfair Retirement Community, that the elders, the residents, don't really want to do a whole lot. But just, I think they probably got a couple of hundred, maybe 250 residents over there, and there's three or four that get out and do stuff. And when they do, it really is good and helps a lot. We've got raised beds over there, too, and we've got a couple of residents taking care of those this year for the first time. And so this is about the fourth season over there. So it's coming along. It takes time, and I would imagine that eventually some of the residents, if you keep inviting them to come out and play in the garden, they'll do it.
Good therapy, boy.
Yeah, it sure is. It's great. Okay. What kind of plants are your favorites over there?
Well, Baker Hunt is, because of the beautiful trees, we have a lot of shade.
Shade. Mm-hmm.
And so we've really had to come up with some different ideas to make sure that we've gotten a nice array of color there. We've got a lot of different varieties of hostas. We've put in five new hydrangeas this year, which are in a new
shape. They're great for shade.
Yes.
Have they bloomed well for you?
They just started to bloom this season, so we're hoping next year that we'll really have a big show with them.
Was one of the varieties perhaps Endless Summer?
No, we don't have Endless Summer. This is an old variety from someone that took from their yard.
Of course.
That's right down by the river.
Historical.
Exactly.
Sure.
We put a new shade garden in that backs up to Sanford Street, and that originally had been a pretty unsightly area. It was covered in debris and trees. And the boys from Covington Catholic came up last fall, I believe, and picked up rocks, boulders, more like the size of them, and a whole pile of them, and they spread them out and made nice rock beds in the back next to Sanford, and we pruned all the trees back there. And so now there's fern and coleus and hostas, and it's become a really beautiful area. There's a really pretty statue that was donated to us by a woman who's a sculptor in Fort Thomas. Sonia
Roberts.
Thank you, Sonia Roberts. It's beautiful. It's a little girl, and she's got a hat on. It's perfect for the area. It's really nice.
Well, that's very appropriate for an art center. Yeah, that's great.
This woman, Sonia Roberts, is a master gardener from probably class 3 or 4.
Oh, really?
Not been involved, but I knew her years ago. Yeah. So I called her to see if she'd help us set up the sculpture garden place. And so she volunteered. And since she came over and saw it like you did today, uh-huh. John, she's been there every Wednesday working.
No kidding.
But this sculpture is about 5 feet tall, and it's of her granddaughter, Ellen.
Oh.
So we're calling, and it's in her Easter outfit with an Easter bonnet on, uh-huh. And she's holding a little Easter egg in her hand. So we're calling it Easter Ellen.
You know? Yeah.
But it looks over this children's garden, so it's really good.
Well, that's good. Now, if somebody wants to come see what we're talking about, can anybody just come over there and walk through? And
absolutely. It's wide open to the public.
Open to the public.
It's a nonprofit place, and there's probably 25 or 30 benches there.
Uh-huh.
People can just come and sit down and enjoy.
Sit.
And basically in the shade because there's so many different trees. And,
yeah.
It's easy to get to. If you come in from Cincinnati, just come across the suspension bridge, and mm-hmm. you're on Scott Street when you get off. It feeds you into Scott. Go down to 7th and take a left. 7th's the one way. You can only turn left.
Yeah.
And that'll take you right to the parking lot at Baker Hunt, a block and a half away.
Okay.
If you come from Kentucky, you get off at 5th Street, exit, and go down to Scott, take a right, go 2 blocks, take a left, and you're right there.
Okay.
We've got some other sculpture there, too. The previous director of the Baker Hunt Foundation, he retired in January this year. Clark Nallen is his name. He donated these 5 little kids. I don't know if you saw them.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
They're only about 2 feet high.
Yeah,
and
there's
5 little children, and they're playing Follow the Leader. And the first little boy's looking over his shoulder and got his finger up, you know, like, follow me. And the last one is a little girl about the same age. And the 3 in the middle are much smaller, but the last one's about the same age as the boy.
They've got them mounted on rocks, as I recall.
Yeah, we thought that they might have feet and walk at night.
Yeah.
I was going to ask what the material is that they're...
They're big boulders, and then we took liquid nails. And just squirted liquid nail. And the
things,
statues, they're
uh-huh.
rosin. They only weigh about 2 pounds each.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they look real old. And just to give them a plug, we got them from Lillian Vernon, catalog place, for $99, all 5 of them.
Oh,
and they're absolutely. I'm sure that I've sold probably 100 of them for Lillian Vernon because I tell everybody about them. You know? But they're really nice.
That's good. Well, that certainly was a beautiful place when I was over there. And you've got some nice classroom facilities. Stuff for the art classes, and you do pottery over there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do pottery and mosaics, and matter of fact, the mosaic teacher made a map of the campus.
Yeah,
and showing the sidewalks and where all the buildings, mm-hmm. a little sign that
had a little chips of tile.
Yeah, chips of tile, and said you are here, you know, and then you can kind of follow your way around. And we built that into one of the gardens, so and it's sort of tilted up a little
uh-huh.
bit. And it's very attractive.
Very attractive. And you leave that out all winter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They've recently. Made some stones for us also that we've placed around in different spots in the garden.
Hmm.
Stepping stones? Like?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Big concrete with little pebbles in them. They're very nice.
And that they're original, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat.
A lot of things have been done there. A lot of people have made what's happened in the last year possible at Baker Hunt.
Yeah.
Baker Hunt doesn't have a staff to speak of. I mean, they have an executive director and a secretary and then the art teachers and things like that, but it's probably 3 or 4 people in total. So the volunteers, they've had master gardeners and friends of Baker Hunt, just people that are interested in the arts and all, have really what made this place kind of come to life in the last couple of years and all. And,
yeah.
And they're starting this fall. They're going to be teaching some language classes, but not that you want to learn how to be to speak French and Italian and Spanish, but if you're going to go over to Europe and you want to learn some conversational type, they have some very inexpensive, they're like $75, $100 for 10 weeks of classes or something like that. And they go fold into those also. They go fold into it cooking along there. So you learn how to do some French cooking if you're taking the French class. And they have kitchen facilities. And the place is rentable. They had a wedding there this summer, and they had a Cincinnati Children's Hospital had a medical meeting there, a convention, like not a convention, but it was a one-day-long meeting facility. So the Kate Scudder House is rentable for weddings and recitals and places like things like that.
What's the capacity? How many people can...
I think Scudder will hold about 75 people in the room at one time. So they're not going to be huge weddings.
But still, what a lovely place.
Very quaint, very nice. And the Crystal was talking about the pergola they're going to put in. This is going to be outside between the two main buildings, so it'll be an outdoor capabilities for weddings outside. And
beautiful grass.
Concerts.
It's
and then with the roses,
it's literally going to be beautiful.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember seeing a cooking class set up over there. You said you have a... Do they have a cooking school where they...
No, it's going to start this fall.
Oh, okay.
They have a cooking facilities in that second house, the Kate Scudder House.
Okay.
They have a fully equipped kitchen in there.
Okay.
So they'll be...
They're going to just set it up for classes,
right.
I guess.
And it's a very, very large, with a big, big island in it, so people can get around it and, you know... That'll be part of it this year.
Yeah, okay, well, that sounds pretty good.
They're teaching creative writing. I mean, it's just a lot of things that the schedule has got. It's about 75 different kinds of
things. Yeah, you just handed me the schedule a little while ago. When
you showed up. Talked signing up for something over there.
It looks like a pretty extensive schedule. How would somebody get a copy of that?
Just get online or call Baker Hunt. The telephone number is 859-431-0020.
Say that again.
859-431-0020.
Okay. And then they'll send you one in the mail, I guess, or
right.
whatever.
Or if you go online, www.baker.com, you can get, they have the schedule right there, so you can see where it is and print it out yourself.
Okay. That's
We're
good.
We're also hoping in the next year to put together a series of four classes related to gardening.
Oh, good.
To trial building and some different things, hopefully, to come. We're hoping to have someone come and identify all the trees so we could possibly do some different things on the ground, do a tour and identify, you know, trees, plants, shrubs.
That's you've got some nice old trees there.
Yes, beautiful
and,
trees there.
We went out and talked to Mike Clark this past week, and he's going to come over and
identify them
in August. We got a date set up, and he's going to come over and help identify all the trees.
Oh,
so
that's
we can
great.
Put signages up for people.
Yeah.
This will be great for kids who've got science projects or leaf projects, you know, at school or something like that. They, here's one, and they know exactly the botanical name and everything.
Yeah.
And we've been to one of the Master Gardener volunteers, Judy Baldwin is her name. She's been doing a pretty good job of identifying or printing out these labels on the computerized program at the Campbell County Extension. So we're getting some of our shrubs planted or labeled.
Labeled,
We probably got another 100 to do. We know where they are and we know what the names are, but we just haven't had the time.
I noticed
you'd
started
there.
Putting some signage out, which is nice for people to come around and look. It's I like that because you go to places like that. If you're planting your own garden and you want to see what's out there, you know, in the way of shrubs. And we had a big time going to the zoo and looking at their annuals that they had.
And it was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. And most of them were labeled, so you could just say, wow, you know, that's good. You know, we'll do that next year.
Take notes.
take notes. We took a lot of notes, you know. Right. But about how many trees do you think you've got over there? Any idea? How many acres?
It's about three-quarters of a square block. There's two big houses and two empty lots and then a big parking lot.
Yeah, so what do you think? Maybe 4 acres, 5 acres?
Probably,
Something like that.
Yeah, and I'd say 50 to 75 trees are on the property.
Yeah.
And most of them, they have a beech tree there that it'd take four people to get their arms around it.
Yeah.
It's so big around. It's been there probably 100-plus years.
Those old beech trees are beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
Beautiful variety of flowering trees in the spring, cherries, magnolias.
Mm. They've got six weeping cherry trees that I think it's Kifu, Japan, sister city, gave them. And Master Gardeners are talking about taking one of them down so we'd have more light, and then they had a tree. And I don't blame them. You know.
Yeah, well, we've got about 200 trees over at Landfair, and I went through and identified them. They weren't particularly hard to identify. We've labeled some of them. But the thing we've got to watch out for, and I don't know whether you have this problem over there or not, some of the trees were given as memorials to somebody, so you can't just take a tree down if it's in the way.
Nope, that's right. You know, one thing I'd like to, I don't want to miss the opportunity to do it, but we had quite a few, besides the Master Gardeners volunteer, we had quite a few nurseries and box stores and all over in Kentucky that donated
stuff,
a tremendous
amount
of stuff last year. I mean, Florence Nursery gave us a whole bunch of stuff. Jim O'Daniels there at Florence Nursery, and Jeff Edwards Landscape and Remedies at Herb Farm, and Lowe's Home Improvement Place, and the two Frank stores gave us, we pick up almost all their bags of broken bags of mulch.
Oh, that's
and so
good.
We've not paid for mulch in 2 years now. And,
yeah.
And the mulch, we've had probably close to 15 truckloads of mulch, pickup truckloads of mulch. And of course, that's a lot of heavy work, and just two or three men are the ones that are usually responsible for that.
Sure.
But everybody else has to be putting them out in the ground and all.
Well, I noticed you had a compost operation over there, too.
Not greatly, but it's four of them.
Well,
you're speaking to the Compost Society president over
here. Getting a plug in for composting,
right.
You know.
We did that because we wanted the kids to learn the importance of that and all. And Bonnie Hampton came over and gave them a little lecture class.
Yeah,
and she's the compost lady at the City Garden Center. And so we got started with it.
And then they take that information home, hopefully, and use compost at home.
We also the first class when we did that, we gave each one of them a three pound can of coffee, Folgers, Maxwell House, or something like that, and they painted them different colors, yellow, green, red, blue, whatever, you know. And then after that paint dried, they painted little worms all over them. So that's their personal
that's
can.
That's their first van.
They take it home with them, and it keeps it on the kitchen sink or underneath, and they put all their waste in there. And every Saturday when they come in, they bring it, and we put it in the compost bin. So we got 30 people or 25 people that are, you know, adding
they're
to the
compost.
They're
feeding their worms with their compost. Yeah.
That's great.
Great.
Okay, that's fine. Crystal, what do you think is next year? What are your plans next year?
Definitely the pergola is our big hopes for next year, and the grounds around that. The other thing we're hoping to do is green up street. When you're coming down Greenup, it's just the you don't see the beauty that is there at Baker Hunt and at the Scudder House from Greenup Street. So we're really hoping that we can revamp the front, take out a lot of the shrubbery that's there, and hopefully bring back some beautiful roses like Margareta originally had at the property. So that's the big hope for 2005 for us.
Where do you think you'll get those roses? Some of those old roses are kind of hard to find, aren't they?
Someone wants to help us with that.
Well, I mean, they're kind of hard to find anymore, it seems to me. Like, I mean, the real old roses.
Bruce, were you talking about some sources and some roses that you found that particularly fragrant?
Of course, my favorite rose is a Don Juan rose, which is that's pretty common now. When I first got it about 6 years ago, it was hard to find in local stores, but I've seen it around quite a bit. But my daughter, who spends a lot of time on the web, pointed me to a place called Heritage Roses online. And basically, I think they focus on antique roses.
Okay.
And, of course, the headquarters for the American Rose Society down in Louisiana might be able to help also.
Yeah, that's good.
We have a master gardener who's been coming and joining us on Wednesdays. His name is John, and he's a member of the Rose Society here in Cincinnati, and so we're hoping that he can be some help with some ideas for us.
Well, that's good, because you don't see really the antique roses much around at the, you know, the modern garden stores. There's so much new stuff coming out all the time, and they're good. You ought to sneak
in.
We're
not going to knock the knockout. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say you ought to sneak a few knockout roses in there.
Because
they're so good. Maybe a few fairy roses even.
The David Austin variety of rose is a beautiful rose, and I think that mimics a lot of the old characteristics of beautiful old heritage style roses.
Now, on the pergola, are you going to have roses, climbing roses? Are you going to use wisteria, or what was there before?
We are still in the development phase of that. We're going off of old pictures that are black and white. So there's there'll be a lot of discussion
about what's
actually going to happen there. And I think once it's actually up, it's going to give us a better idea of what we're really hoping to put up. The little entrance to the front or to the side of Baker Hunt, we have climbing hydrangea on that now, which is going to be a nice addition. So hopefully we'll come up with something.
How's that doing?
It's not moving quickly. That's
yeah.
Well, the question is, how old is it? It's just beginning to move. I have one that's been in for 5 years, and for the first 3 years, it grew about a total of 2 feet, and now it's reached the top of my arbor. And it's starting to do battle with my Cecile Brunner rose. I'll have to make a choice pretty soon.
Probably the first few years it's growing roots, wouldn't you think?
But we didn't have a whole lot of luck with our climbing hydrangea.
It was not in a good place.
And it probably wasn't getting enough sun either.
And it needed more water than we gave it.
We got something wrong with ours right now, too. Some of the leaves are turning brown. It's like a blight or something on it. So
oh, really?
I got to get somebody over there that knows a lot more about that than me give a diagnosis on it, because we don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look real. One of them.
Well, we found generally with all of our hydrangeas, except maybe the oak leaf hydrangea, that they need a little tender, loving care until they get their roots established. Even this endless summer is usually the first thing to wilt. In our garden.
It's pitiful when it wilts.
Yeah, it looks.
There's nothing pitiful in your garden. I've seen your garden.
We used to use coleus as our indicator plants.
And then the sun ones came along.
And they don't wilt anymore with the new sun coleus they've got. So, but the endless summer hydrangea has been a good indicator. It tells us when we have to water.
Crystal was talking about the rock garden that the Cub Calf boys helped us build with these big stones and all. We've probably got 15 different kinds of coleus out there, and they are some of the colors I've never seen them before. They're just, I don't know what they are, but
they're wonderful.
Oh, they're just beautiful, and they've gotten so big.
Yeah, they're shrub size, aren't they?
Yeah. We had a party there on Friday the 13th, August the 13th, and I saw at least 3 people telling me that they've went over and pinched some of the coleus to take them home to ruin them because they're so beautiful.
We've had some of that happen, too.
Yeah.
Well, they're pretty easy to root, although somebody. I read somewhere that, most cuttings you need to mist them to make them really happy. But that's, coleus don't like that. It tends to wash the color out.
Let me ask you a question. I would like to dig up the coleus we got out there. We have a solarium there. I'd like to dig them up, pot them, and bring them in during the winter. You think they'll survive it and be okay to
put them
back out next spring?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We'll try that because they're beautiful.
And you could try taking cuttings, too.
I've already done that.
Oh, you've done that.
I took some cuttings about 2 weeks ago, and I got them hopefully growing now.
Yeah,
plants are so nice and big. I mean, that's what surprised me, because they're the biggest coleus I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, the coleus at the zoo, going back to that, I mean, they've got some awesome ones over there. And anyway.
Do they arrest you if you take cuttings at the zoo?
I don't know. They pinch the flowers off. Their coleus, and they pinch them a little deep. They don't just take the flower; they go down a little bit and take a few leaves. So that's kind of like taking a cutting. So if you go over there and volunteer to the zoo and help take care of their coleus, you could get some cuttings probably.
Just cleaning up,
right?
Just don't do it in the Purple People Bridge last year.
I knew Bruce would bring up the Purple People Bridge
last year when I was in the Master Gardener class last fall. We were collecting coleus cuttings, and one morning on the bridge, I generally run across a bridge about 5:30, 6 o'clock. I decided to take a few cuttings off of the coleus, and then a security guard came along and said, "You're not supposed to pick those flowers. Don't pick them. Put them back." So I had to leave the flowers there.
Okay, let's see. It's 8:30. And you're listening to the Master Gardener Hour, the shortest hour in radio, with your host John Duke and my guests Bud Thurman, Crystal Cruzchan, and Amy and Bruce on WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM. You can listen to the Master Gardener Hour here every Monday this summer from 8 to 9. And I guess next Monday is our last summer show. So Amy and I will be here, and probably Bruce, to say goodbye for the summer. But, Bruce?
It's been a short summer.
Yes, it has. Bruce, you've got some public service announcements to read?
Absolutely. Absolutely. as you may know, I've been away for a month, but waiting in the pile of mail for me as I got home was a folder from ETC, the Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati, and it described their new season. And we'll talk about the ETC, the Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati seasons run between September of the year and October the following year. And so we're starting a new season at ETC. And you can contact the ETC box office at 421-3555, and that's 513-421-3555 for more information on season ticket subscriptions. Or you can visit them on the web at www.cincyetc.com. That's CINCYETC.com. And that's one of the more unique theater experiences
it is.
I've
it is.
Seen.
We've been down there. One of our neighbors is very involved with that. And, so it's a neat place.
Absolutely. And also, if you want to get a bird's eye view of downtown Cincinnati, then check out the observation deck at the Carew Tower, located on the 49th floor at 441 Vine Street. Call 513-579-9735 for more information. And I'm glad you picked that out, Amy, because I didn't know that about that. I'll have to check that out.
With all the new construction and things that have been happening, it just kind of struck me as that would be a good place to see it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's great. And finally, as far as this station, you can hear the best of traditional bluegrass every Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. on the Cut in the Grass Show. Your hosts, Lee Elliott and Moonbeam, will feature the music of Bill Monroe, the Stanley Brothers, Jimmy Martin, the Osborne Brothers, and many others each week. Tune in to WAIF on Saturday starting at 8 a.m. for the finest mix of bluegrass music.
Yeah, thank you. Lee Elliott does such a great job on that show. I just listen to that every Saturday I get a chance to. Okay. I want to mention a few upcoming events and opportunities again this week. The Master Gardener program in Northern Kentucky is starting on, it's going to be on Tuesdays from 9 to 1 p.m., and it's starting September 7th, every week through December the 14th. And you can find out more about that by calling the Campbell County Extension at 859-572-2600. And Landfair Retirement Community is offering a free class on houseplants on Wednesday, September the 15th at 2 p.m. And to find out about that and sign up for it, call Nancy at 591-4501. And one of my favorite classes is the Master Composter classes at the Civic Garden Center. And they're going to start their three consecutive Saturdays starting October the 2nd. And you can call the Civic Garden Center and find out more about that. There's still room in that class, I know. Call 221-0981. And the last item here is, if you haven't been down to Urban Eden at 1313 Main Street, that's Linda Kreidler's shop. Amy and I were down there yesterday. Amy made a couple of troughs down there. She had a trough workshop and made a nice couple of troughs.
Just to clarify, the troughs were constructed and I planted the troughs.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was great.
Yeah.
And these troughs were, I read about that in the paper, these troughs were either stone or
hypertufa. They mix up concrete and I don't know, some lightweight vermiculite or something like that, and they're lightweight. Do you put dirt and plants in them?
Actually, another Amy Casper is very proficient at doing that.
Uh-huh. We took a class.
Did you?
That she taught.
She's going to come over to Baker Hunt this fall, and we're going to have, actually we're going to do probably two different workshops, one for children and one for adults, and let them take the trough home with them. They make them and leave us some there too. You know, we'll make some and put them.
Sure. Are you starting to save containers to?
Not yet. I got to talk to Amy. I talked to her at the Campbell County when we had the volunteer fair out there, and she agreed that she'd do this, but we haven't worked out the time and all that.
One of the things that we used when she taught the class were these plastic shoe boxes, just about the right size, and they had a
They look
kind of and a marking, so they look kind of decorated. There's a marking on them, and they worked out pretty well. The dollar stores have them.
Yeah, Amy Casper really likes to teach that class, and she gets into it. She gets concrete all over everything when she does it.
That's okay.
She has a very good cleaning system to clean
it
up.
Yes, she does.
We just got to put this program together because we want to put the trough as well as containers, planting, two or three workshops, like two Saturdays or three Saturdays, four Saturdays in a row or something like that.
Yeah. I wanted to Bud, to ask you and Crystal about something. Seems to me that I recall several years ago that you two were pretty involved with Habitat for Humanity. What's going on there now, if anything.
Both of us have been. I haven't been in probably 3 or 4 years. Crystal's more recently than me. She's been involved, but it's probably, I don't know, 6, 8 years ago I got involved with Master Gardeners, and we did probably 8 to 10 houses in northern Kentucky,
uh-huh.
whereas the Habitat people would build a house, and the Master Gardeners would come in behind them and put all the landscaping in for them. And we'd go out and beg from different retailers, you know, they give us some materials and all. That's how I got used to asking for things free, you know. But it made a big difference in those people's lives, because there's no way they could put in a lot of landscaping.
Yeah.
And you don't want a lot of land. You're not trying to make a beautiful garden. You're just trying to get them some basic stuff in the ground. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Get them started, get grass growing for them, things like that.
Yeah.
And Crystal worked on one just about 2 years ago.
On Scott Street.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And Florence Nursery and Home Depot were wonderful to me there, as well as Fetters. They really helped me put things together. In fact, Home Depot even donated all the things that they would need to maintain the garden, shovels and hose, and it was very nice. So we really put it in, and now I've gone by several times, and it still looks as nice as when we put it in, which is very rewarding for all of us. Because there were 6 or 8 master gardeners down there working the day everything went in.
Now, when you take a house like that and put in the landscaping, do you try to teach the residents how to maintain that? Is
yes.
that part of the program?
Absolutely. In fact, we gave them the literature from all of the plantings and some things so that they would know when to prune, when to expect things to bloom, how much water requirements there were, you know, talked about mulching and doing some different things and what to do with things if they weren't looking well, put bulbs in the ground for them so that they could expect something from spring to fall, which was nice.
Yeah, that's good.
When I did it about 6, 8 years ago, we even had one master gardener that would sort of be a mentor to that family, so they could call and ask questions
for
later
if
they didn't know what was happening
stuff.
Or things like that. And I don't know that we still do that, but very worthwhile project, though.
Yeah, oh, it is. Yeah, and very much needed and appreciated, I'm sure. Bruce, you're being mighty quiet today.
Well, basically, I've been up in New England for nearly a month, and I guess I need a little retraining coming back here.
You had some good weather up there.
Some perfect weather.
We had good weather here while you were gone.
I know. I saw some of the results on the bridge, but I guess it was quite dry here for a while, with a few exceptions.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about at Baker Hunt the Victorian garden, and I spend a week on a place up in off the coast of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, called Star Island, and it's part of what's called the Isle of Shoals. And actually, Star Island was the place where John Smith, the first governor of Massachusetts, first set foot on the continent. But across from Star Island, which is part of a group of 9 islands, is another island called Appledore, and that's the largest of these 9 islands. It's about a half a mile in diameter. But during the late 19th century, there is an American poet, a poet of deservedly little note, Celia Thaxter. She lived... actually grew up on Appledore and lived there 10 miles off the shore of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. But she kept a garden, and after some of her poetry had been published, her friends urged her to write about her garden. And this book is called An Island Garden. If you want information about Victorian gardens, she actually did include a plot plan of her garden, and it was very difficult because there were no fresh water on the island. And the garden, which came to its best in the 1890s, is still maintained today by 3 garden clubs in the Portsmouth, New Hampshire area. And if anybody gets to New England, it's possible to take the ferry out there and see the garden out there. But if you're looking for information on what is grown and Victorian gardens, this is an excellent source, including growing hops on an arbor that she had back then.
Yeah, we've got a neighbor friend who grows some hops. He's into making his own beer, and that's good beer too.
I'm not sure that Celia brewed beer. She may have, but she did have quite a few.
Why else would you grow hops?
I guess so. Perhaps for the decorative nature.
The beauty of them. Yeah. Okay.
But the book in Island Garden is a beautiful book.
Well, now, you said they don't have any fresh water there. What do they do? Collect rainwater?
They collect rainwater, yes. There's cisterns. Actually, on Star, we are limited to two showers a week. Mostly water collected from the roof, and of course filtered because there are seagulls there. And they bring over, every ferry trip brings over about 2,500 gallons of water.
Yeah.
And that's the water for the island.
Well, the seagulls wouldn't bother putting it on the plants, I guess. But,
No.
Wouldn't want
to
drink it.
Rain?
Yes.
To water?
Absolutely.
Garden?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can't remember. Did you say that there's somebody there living there year-round, or is it the summer?
There has been at times. We call them the winter keepers. Oh. And they're actually from, I think, 1963 to 88. There was one couple who had a boat, and they would come ashore. But between Thanksgiving and late March, they were on the island alone.
That's really the meaning of self-sufficiency, isn't it?
Absolutely. But they got some beautiful pictures of winter and the snow on an island that sort of straddles Maine and New Hampshire.
It's interesting.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're back safe.
Thank you.
We do go check out the Purple People Bridge while you were gone.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. It's looking fairly good. The bridge team, the steering committee is going to be having a meeting next week to decide what went right and what went wrong this year.
The evaluation.
Absolutely. And make some decisions on planting next year. We'll have to see how everything survives the River Fest this weekend. Last year after Tall Stacks, most of the pots were well used as trash bins. It took a lot of cleaning up after that. But
well, what do you plan on having in those planters over the winter? Anything? Or?
There are a few annuals. There are a few ornamental grasses that survive.
Yeah.
But basically, that's it. We did plant a few things, some mums, along with some, I guess I'll call them ornamental cabbages. In a few of them. Yeah,
but they won't last through the winter.
No, but so mostly during the winter they're empty.
Yeah, okay. I would say, you know, over what I've seen a lot of people do with containers over the winter is just go out and cut pine boughs and things like that because they will stay green all winter.
Yeah, and that's a possibility, but we have to remember there's 64 planters on the bridge. Actually, some have been moved off the bridge and onto what we call the path to the Taft across Pete Rose Way. And now with the new construction on the bridge, there's some planters that are actually behind the chain link fence. I was hoping they'd be moved up the bridge a little bit, but they are behind the chain link fence there.
Do you get very much traffic across it when it gets cold and
wet? Yeah. I go across the bridge at between 5:30 and 6 o'clock every morning, and even at that time on the summer mornings, there's probably 10 or 15 people who are running, walking the bridge.
For winter, do you have that many?
There's still people who will come across from Cincinnati and who will brave that dirty little path that we're trying to pick up, clean up between Pete Rose Way and 3rd Street. But
I would imagine ice would be a problem in the winter for people trying to walk on the bridge.
Yeah. Last winter there were some attempts made to plow when it did snow.
Oh, okay.
And so there is sort of a path that crosses the bridge.
Yeah.
But it still could stand some improvement in that area.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to mention again this week, for those that maybe aren't familiar with it, is a great web page. It's the Buckeye Yard and Garden Line. It's bygl.osu.edu. It's an Ohio State University webpage. And one of the really neat things about it is all of the Ohio State horticulture, entomology, what have you, experts get together and have a conference call and talk about what's going on this week in from a garden standpoint. And then they write all that up and put it on their webpage. And it's pretty neat to stay abreast of what's going on. For example, I just looked at it a couple of days ago and found out that the yellow jackets, and actually they're European paper wasps, but we think of them as yellow jackets, they have a change in their metabolism where they change from being meat eaters to sugar eaters. And so they're, and I've noticed this just, you know, in the last few days that they're coming around the trash cans and your Coke bottle straw. And
they don't know if my Pepsi's diet or not, do they?
No, they don't know. They don't know. But they have kind of perked up, and that's a normal thing they do this time of year. The other thing I picked up on it this week was that bagworms, it's too late to spray. The only way you can deal with bagworms now this time of year is to hand pick them. And, but that's worth doing if you have bagworms. So I just wanted to mention those things.
John.
Yeah.
I want to add one more thing about Baker Hunt.
Okay.
We're in the process now of establishing a scholarship fund for both senior citizens and youth that cannot afford to take art lessons down there.
Okay.
This summer we offered a scholarship to a lady over at the Covington Ladies Home. Name's Rosemary. I can't tell you the last name, but she was like a little 14-year-old kid. Every week when she'd come over and do her art, she did oil painting. She'd come over and she'd take it back and show all the people over there, and she's going to get another scholarship this fall because she's so excited about what she's learning and all. And we've got a child from Holmes High School who will be coming in this fall that will be taking art lessons there.
Well, that's great.
We're just new in this, and we're trying to raise funds for the scholarship program to develop it and all. So if anybody wants to, if they have a contribution they want to make to a scholarship, not just to Baker Hunt, but to these kids and the senior citizens, we'd love to have it.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that the support group that sponsors, besides the Master Gardeners, of the organization called the Friends of Baker Hunt. And they're the ones that really kind of make things happen around there.
Yeah.
And we're looking for new members, and we're looking for young people to join.
Okay.
And so Crystal's one of the young people that we'd like to have on there.
If someone wanted to make a donation, is there a mailing address? And how should they make out the check?
Make it out to the Friends of Baker Hunt, and they can send it to 620 Greenup Street, Covington, 41011. 620 Greenup Street. And make it out the Friends of Baker Hunt. That's a support group that helps out, that has the scholarship sitting up and all right
okay.
now.
What's that address again?
620 Greenup Street.
620 Greenup.
41011.
41011, okay.
One more question. You mentioned that the general public is welcome there, and the general public actually should come and enjoy the area. Are there any hours where you have restrictions? Do you open and close, or is it simply a 24-hour access to the outdoor area?
No, the facilities are open Monday through Thursday, I think from 8:30 till 4. The office is open during that time, but people are welcome to come and just sit on the grounds and read or eat lunch. There's quite a few law offices around there, and people bring their brown bags over and just sit there and eat lunch there.
It's a nice place to do that.
Right.
I was impressed with the inside there. It's like a museum.
I didn't even talk about the museum.
No.
I apologize.
Because really something. So
the main building has got, they've got Duveneck paintings in there. They've got, I can't even think of all the different, being somebody likes to paint, I ought to know what they
are.
It's
an antique. But
very, very old, mid 1800s. Her dresses and a lot of quilts that were made 150 years ago, and the furniture's all been restored there, and it's really a gorgeous place.
Is it? It's open for touring to see it, for the public to see.
Yeah. It's open whenever the office hours are open. You can go through there. They're looking for docents too. We've had a bunch of docents, but they've slipped away, and we're down to about three or four docents. People that know the history and can really, on lectures or tours when people are coming through, can tell them everything about it. And I know a thumbnail sketch of it. That's about all. And so I couldn't do a good job at that. But.
What about the artwork that students produce? Do you ever have sales? There for?
Yes, once a year the students have. It might be twice a year the students have a show. Showing where you're able to put up two or three things, and you can put a price tag on it if you want to sell them. A lot of us, I mean, I've had things on there that Like I've done a portrait of my granddaughter, and I wouldn't sell that.
Right,
I mean, that's,
right.
That's to them,
if,
you know,
if they want to.
Right, right. And they you can sell things there. And then on August the 13th, a couple of weeks ago, the instructors had a show, and some of the instructors' prices were pretty steep, you know, really high. You know, but
I bet there were.
They're professional, and not students and all. But the students always, and the children have a separate show too. Whenever the children's class is over with, they always have a, and you know, grandma and grandpa comes to all those, and they buy everything.
Sure.
From them,
so. Well, we had it on our calendar to come to that, and we just got wiped out doing something else.
It was a big event. Very, very successful.
Yeah,
we had
it sounded like a lot of fun.
Different people estimated 350 to 500 people were there.
Wow.
We had,
that's great.
Three or four different little bands, you know, bluegrass and a Jimmy Buffett type, you know, and soft music and all. And food was donated to us, and the beverages were donated.
You do that every year?
No, this is the first time we've done that.
Well, so, are you going to do it next year?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will. although we might not be able to, because the police came three times because of the noise.
Too
the amplifiers.
Much noise?
Yeah,
from
some
the
of the neighbors were complaining about the noise.
Great.
So we'll, if we do it next year, it'll be without the amplifiers, I'm sure. But it was a great, great event. Everybody enjoyed it.
Well, we're sorry we missed it.
Acoustic music would be more fitting for the era also, anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. I want to mention just a couple more things here that are coming up. Friday, September the 17th, OSU Extension in Allen County, that's up in Lima, Ohio, they're having a plant diagnostic workshop to talk about insects and diseases and things like that and identify what they are. You may want to go up there and find out what's wrong with your hydrangea.
Climbing hydrangea, yeah.
But that's usually a very good event, and it's going to be up in Lima this year, I guess. And it's to find out more about it, you can probably call a local extension office and find out about it. But the number, the direct number is area code 419-222-9946. And then the September 15th is the Residential Landscape Seminar again in Claremont County. And you can find out about that by calling at 732-7070. And that's usually pretty good. I've been to that one several times in the past. I don't think I went last year, but it's a good one. They have a lot of good people talking about residential landscaping. Real experts. Okay. Let's see. Next week, Amy and I are going to end our summer series of the Master Gardener Hour with a discussion of lawn care and fall garden tasks, and we might even talk about houseplants a little bit.
We can talk about houseplants.
Yes.
Because they are the fourth season.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's getting time to bring them in if you put them out for the summer. So, and we'll have some good news for folks out there, too, about the fall tasks. Have a good list of things you don't have to do. So don't miss that. And did you know that WAIF depends on you, our listeners, for financial support? We're an all-volunteer, non-profit community radio station, and for only $15 you can become a member of WAIF FM. You can join on the webpage at www.waif883.org. And all programs are going to be archived again for 96 hours starting sometime soon, I think. But if you want to listen to previous Master Gardener Hour programs, you can go to the American Compost Society webpage, which is at www.writethisforme.com/ACS. And click on the Master Gardener Hour link. Okay. Bud, Crystal, do you folks have anything else you want to add that we...
Just like to mention that the Worms kids are going to be having a produce sale When's the sale coming out?
I don't know that we're going to have enough produce to sell. We took the whole,
You've been eating out of the garden? And
no, we sold a bunch at that party on Friday.
Oh, did
Friday
you?
Night.
Okay.
We sold, it was over $100 worth of stuff. It was just donations. We just said there's no price on anything. Just take what you want, but leave some money for the scholarship fund. That's what it went to towards. But I do have three buckets of tomatoes in the back seat of my car I'm taking down when we leave here today. And we sell it during the week to people coming in, taking classes and all, but I don't think we have enough for the... We had planned to have a produce sale out in the parking lot, but it's not enough out there really to do that now. Also, I would just like to thank you, John, for letting us come over and talk about Baker Hunt. We've really enjoyed it, and it's been an experience for both Crystal and I.
Well, good. I'm glad you came. It was interesting, and glad to have you.
Come by and see us and help us
out. Oh, we will. Yeah, because Amy hasn't been over there.
Good. And I want to see it.
Yeah.
Pack a lunch, spend the afternoon there.
Sounds great.
Bruce, any final thoughts?
Actually, I haven't seen it either, but it's a daily thing for me to hop on my bike and ride somewhere, or get out in early in the morning and run somewhere. I may be sneaking into your backyard at 6 o'clock in the morning and just sitting and contemplating.
Well, that's not too far from you.
No, I actually, in the mornings... Sometimes I run and walk through, as I call it, three cities and two states, Newport, Covington, and Cincinnati. So I pass right by there on 4th Street.
I got a better idea. Every Wednesday morning from 9 to 12, we have a work party. We could use your expertise in helping us work. Put on the old clothes.
I may be able to do that.
I thought you were going to come back that you could do a swap and he could come down and work on the bridge.
That's a possibility. Yeah, we actually do have about 50 people on the bridge team who spend time on the bridge, including what we call a spy team. And there's a couple volunteers each week who go onto the bridge a couple times and look at what's happening and make recommendations. This year, most of it has been the plants need more water.
Baby was talking about that last week. We asked her about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the bridge team is a very dedicated organization, group of people. So we're happy to see that. And once again, what are the hours for Baker Hunt? Just so that we fix it in people's memories.
The office hours, I'm pretty certain of this, the office hours, I believe, are from 8:30 to 4. If there's a question, just call down there at 431-0020, and they can tell you when they're open. But it's open Monday through Thursday. Office hours are open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 to 4.
Okay, good. Well, thank you all for coming. I think it's time for us to start heading out of here with our show. Master Gardener Hour with John Duke. You can listen to the Master Gardener Hour every Monday morning this summer from 8 to 9 on WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM. All we ask is 1 hour a week. I should be back next Monday, and we'll wind up the summer program series, so don't miss it. That's only 167 hours from now, so make them count. Stay tuned for One Voice, and take care of yourself. Your garden needs you. Thanks for listening.